This is a Sound Rebel podcast.
To work with us on your podcast, go to soundrebel.co.uk. Over the Influence is no longer just a podcast. Our online community is buzzing with people like you.
Hi, I'm Charlotte. I'm 36. I live with my husband, two daughters, and our dog. For many, many years, I got into a habit of drinking 2 to 3, but usually 3, large glasses of wine every night once my kids were in bed. Everyone I fessed up to said it was fine, but a niggly feeling in me just knew it wasn't. One day I impulsively said, right, that's it, no more. And I went on a search for different resources to help me. I came across OTI and I immediately loved it because suddenly this dramatic lifestyle change that I had embarked on wasn't about boring restriction. It was about enjoying life and discovering loads of really cool things. I signed up to become an OTI member, and that is great because you have access to a whole load of supportive people on the forum. You can log on to Zoom meetups, which happen daily, so you never feel alone. And we get to listen to a whole other episode every week, which is the premium pod. So a huge thank you to the OTI team for everything. The last 6 months have been awesome.
You've heard the podcast. Now join the conversation. Go to overtheinfluence.co.uk.
Yo, Shaz, just spin that shit, man. Just play it. I'm just going to do a top tip while you're talking.
Welcome to this episode of Over the Influence. If you are tuning in for the first time and thinking, WTF was that? I'll explain very, very shortly. It's a very special episode of Over the Influence today. If you are joining us for the very first time, thank you so much for listening. Thank you for your support. Thank you for being part of what we do. Basically, in a nutshell, we are possibly the best, allegedly, alcohol-free podcast on the planet. We sing about sobriety, and that's us in a nutshell. I will quickly reintroduce who we are. My name is Sharon Hartley. Everybody calls me Shaz or Shazza. I think next month I'm 3.5 years alcohol free, and it still continues to get better and better and better. I was a daily drinker, got to the point where it was like a bottle of wine at night, maybe a little bit more at weekends, and it got boring, it got dull, it got repetitive. I thought I would take a break for 90 days, have a bit of a reset, and then go back to boozing. Didn't happen. Took that break for 90 days, and it was like, as Sarah Hepler said in last week's episode, it was like that scene in The Wizard of Oz that goes from black and white to glorious Technicolor. Haven't looked back. I don't do this on my own. I am joined by Freddie, my co-host. He's in New Zealand and he's wearing a baseball cap and shades and doing really strange hand gestures as though he's sort of like down with the kids.
Yo, Freddie. Yo, Shaz. Okay, Boomer. How we doing, everybody? Just chilling out here, world's number one podcast, man. And I'm probably going to go and do some Instagram reels. And but yeah, I've got to say, this hat is awfully itchy on my skin and I can't really see in these sunglasses.
God for that.
But it's really a pleasure to be here. And I'm really tired because my kids kept me up last night. But it's going to be a great episode. It's going to be something different. This is why we're number one. I'm so excited to have our guests on today. I've spoken too much because I'm awfully tired. I'll pass over to you guys.
It's been on the caffeine, and I'm really glad you've removed the baseball hat and shades. Not becoming of a man your age, Freddie, but thank you for that introduction. We have got producer Ben keeping us in check with his highlighter pens, with his lists, with his organisation, with his schedule, and with his structure. Hello, Ben.
Hello, my name is Ben. I'm the producer of this podcast, and I have to say, it blows my mind how many thousands of people download this podcast across the world every single week. And today is the start of something new, which I'm incredibly, incredibly excited about. I suppose my story is a little bit different to yours, Shazza, to yours, Freddie, because everyone's story is different. But I didn't really think that I needed to give up alcohol until after I gave it up. I had a 3-month break. And it was in that 3 months that I realised that actually my relationship with alcohol was a lot worse than I thought it was when I was drinking. It was almost immediate for me that the benefits started to come. I felt clearer headed. I felt awake for the first time in years, and it was almost immediate. Of course, the benefits kept on coming. That 3-month break turned to a 6-month break, turned to 12 months. And now I can confidently say that I never want to drink again. Me and alcohol, we're done. It's over. The reason I'm so excited and the reason I'm saying that our stories are a bit different is because we've got two guests on today who aren't going to be guests after this episode, because they're going to be occasional hosts of Over the Influence. Their stories are very different to ours again, and they're very different because they've done this 10, 15, 20 years before we even thought about ditching the booze. Shaz, back to you for the big intro.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Ben. Thank you, Freddie. Really, really excited about this. I'm going to use the term guests for now because I want to welcome today's guests. But as you alluded to there, Ben, these aren't just any guests. These are going to be our podcast hosts. They are going to be taking over this podcast once a month throughout this year, giving you a very different angle on alcohol-free life, basically because they are young and sober. They have made the decision to go alcohol-free a damn sight earlier than we have, and we love it. And we want to give these young people a platform, give these young people a voice, and help them on their way to changing the whole frigging world. You have already heard from one of these people. We love her dearly. She's one of only two people that have been on the pod twice. It is the fabulous young Charlie. Charlie, how are you doing? Welcome to Over the Influence.
Hello, thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited. I've got so many ideas, so many plans. Thank you for putting up with me for this long, really.
You are more than welcome. And actually, as an aside, not only are you getting more involved with the podcast and doing a bit of hosting with your mate Joey, who we are going to hear from in just a sec, you're also now in charge, basically, of the blogging on our website, of the articles, of the stories that are shared, of the member stories. And it's going so well, Charlie. Think back to when you were first on the pod all those many moons ago.
I know, I can't believe it. So much has changed. I'm really enjoying doing the writing, doing the editing of other people's work. It's really interesting to hear. And it's also just great to be like writing a little something, like looking at the alcohol-free news and just, yeah, like I really love it. I really do.
It's ace. It's inspiring. We are excited. So we'll come back to you in a little bit, Charlie. But
no problem.
I would love to introduce a co-host to be. He's called Joey. He's Charlie's mate, and he's on the podcast. And Joey, you have had the biggest smile on your face throughout this entire debacle of an introduction. We get there in the end, but it sometimes takes us a while. How are you?
I am absolutely fantastic. You're damn right I've got a smile on my face. I'm happy. I'm here to talk about being sober, something that I absolutely love, something that's changed my life. And I'm so happy to be a part of this. I've listened to the podcast before. I think it's absolutely fantastic. I'm happy to get started. Thank you so much for the amazing introduction.
You are more than welcome. Don't be perturbed about the fact that Freddie was wearing sort of shades and a cap at the age of 39. He was just trying to fit in, Joe. He was trying his best.
I'm like a 19-year-old, Chaz. Like, that's basically... I think Joey came on and he was like, hang on, this guy's younger than me. And I
think you were.
I believe
you were,
right, like Joey, I'm 40 in less than 2 weeks. That
yeah,
is,
you were like a 19-year-old 20 years ago, Freddie.
20 years ago. Crypto man.
Joey, don't
crypto.
Let any of this put you off.
You'll
get used to the way Over the Influence works. We have a laugh. We sing about sobriety. The best bit about this is you and Charlie are going to be doing this on our behalf once a month on this podcast. Before we get stuck in into some of the topics you're going to be covering and the people that you might be speaking to, Joey, I want you to tell us about you. Who are you? Where are you from? How old are you? And what do you get up to? Loads of questions there to answer.
Okay, lots of questions. Let's power through them. So yeah, in case you haven't noticed, my name's Joey. I'm 26. I'm a student in University of Liverpool, same as Charlie. And as of today, I am 927 days sober. Yes.
No way!
Wow. I know, right? I can't wait for the day that I could say 1,000. Oh, I can't wait for that day.
Oh, Joey!
Yeah. But yeah, so my journey's been, it's been a mad one, to be honest with you. Yeah, so the first time I went to uni, I was 19 years old. That was like right after I finished my A-levels. And that was basically when my drug taking year started. So yeah, it was going pretty hard and whatnot. And it ended really badly. You know, university life, struggles with drugs. You just sort of think, oh, it's just what you do. You go to university, you drink and all this sort of stuff. And then I ended quitting university, didn't like what I was doing with my life, didn't like where I was going. And I thought to myself, do you know what, Joey? How long are you going to wait before you start to demand the best of yourself? And so I just started to demand the best of myself. I realized I don't want to live at home with my parents forever. I want to get out. I want to have my own place. I want to have a good, stable job. I want to make something of myself. So I thought, do you know what? I'm going to go back to university. It's going to be different this time. What am I going to do differently? I'm going to get sober. So I just did it. And yeah, when I was absolutely over the moon when I joined the university and I found out that there was a sober society at the university. So that's basically how I met Charlie. And I thought, this is fantastic. I'm going to get more involved and talk about my life. And yeah, here we are today.
That's amazing. And Joey, with that journey to getting sober, and you're so close to what I call the one comma club now, and you're tender 26 years old. That is absolutely awesome.
It's incredible.
I know. And when you were on, when you made that decision, how did you do it? You must have been what, about 23-ish at the time? And like for a 23-year-old, because yeah, when I was 23, I made a decision to go sober every single Monday morning. Didn't last very long. So how did you do it? Was it just willpower? Did you go to any meetings? Was it Quitlet? What was the process for you?
Yeah, it was a lot of willpower. I'm a very disciplined person. The more you get to know me in this podcast, the more you'll realize that. But it was mostly just looking at myself and thinking, just taking the time to be with myself and thinking, what do I want to do with my life? Is this what I thought I would be doing my life when I was a kid? Like, oh, I'm going to grow up and I'm going to drink alcohol. No, that's not what I thought I'd be doing. So I just wanted to really change and be the best version of myself that I could possibly be. And I knew that there was nothing stopping me. So let's get it done. Let's talk to all my friends. I said, boys, I'm not drinking anymore. I'm not doing any of this. Like, I'm still going to hang out with you. I still love you all. I still love you. But yeah, I don't want to do this. And this is something I'm serious about. I'm going to be disciplined about this. I'm going to change my whole life around. And yeah, after, you know, just taking it one day at a time, here I am.
And did your friends, you say, you talked about the boys there and your friends, were they supportive? Did they try and, because, yeah, were they like, oh yeah, okay. Yeah, did they believe in you? Did they try and change your mind? What happened there?
Do you know, for the most part, like the response I got in the beginning was, all right. Like, yeah, sure you are, mate. Yeah, sure you are. But now here I am today and I'm like, suck it. I'm still here. I'm still sober. What are you going to do about it? generally speaking, I got an amazing response from all my friends, everyone I know. Like, and even today when I still tell people, like, oh, you're not drinking tonight, I don't drink anything, I'm sober. The response I get is like, wow, like that's amazing. So yeah, I get a good response from pretty much everyone. And yeah, I actually love it, you know?
Amazing. Freddie, remember when I said to you, you're going to love Joey because he drops the one-liners like you do? Like, already you've had a couple. Oh, absolutely.
Can I confirm? Did he say...
bombs are being dropped already. This is good.
You can suck it.
Yeah.
Honestly, you two are going to get on so well. And the other thing that, we've very patronisingly been saying that this is like when Little Ant and Deck take over Saturday Night Takeaway. Yes, I'm so sorry. It's so patronising, and I really am sorry for. But honestly, Freddie, Joey, it really reminds me of you, because what you're saying,
very
Joey, about that moment that you had where it's like, is this what I wanted from my life? And Freddie, when he said that to me, Joe, we met a few weeks back, and you said that on the Zoom call, and I was like, oh, I can hear Freddie saying those words.
Yeah.
But Joey, I mean, you've really taken this seriously, because,
absolutely,
you know, when you were a kid, let's just go into what you're doing now. When you were a kid, what did you dream about? What did you dream of for your life?
Do you know what? It's actually really funny, because I actually dreamed about studying about space. And like, just like space. That was literally, I mean, as an 8-year-old kid, it's like, what you like? Oh, I like space. And now here I am studying astrophysics at uni. So
there we go.
Yeah, it's great.
There wow. we go. And what is it that you'd like to, because that's not your typical degree, is it? What would you like to do with your degree after you leave university?
So I'm definitely looking for a master's, PhD. I want to be a cosmologist. I want to study the universe. I want to really be the next Roger Penrose, Stephen Hawking, you know, follow in their footsteps. Big goals.
Oh my God.
And that wouldn't have happened. Well, I'm speaking for you now. would that have happened had you decided to carry on drinking, do you think? Do you think you would have still gone back to university and be studying this now? Your dream?
Absolutely not. There is no way. Like, I just couldn't do it. That was what made it so hard the first time I was in uni. And I just thought to myself, you know what? I'll just do it for like a month. I'll just see how a month goes. And then that was like the greatest month of my life. And I was like, do you know what? Let's do it. Let's apply for university. Let's go back. Let's get it done. And yeah, there was absolutely no way I'd be here at all. Like if I hadn't stopped. So yeah, I definitely have my sobriety to thank for a lot of the things that make me me.
I'm a bit speechless. I am proper jaw dropping. Just open mouth like that. Oh my God. These two, they're so young, they're so sober, they're so intelligent. The possibilities are endless. You know what I adore about this, aside from all of it? Charlie, you know how much we love you. We just think you are marvellous. Think back, right, to that first episode when you came on Over the Influence and you're like, yeah, I'm sober. And you were quite meek and a little bit shy, maybe a tad nervous. And then your confidence grew and grew. And you talked about maybe setting up this sober society at university. But, you know, nobody obviously would possibly be interested in that. And now here we have a potential sort of astrophysicist boffin type, 900 and odd days alcohol free. He's called Joey. He's now your mate. He joined that society and you two are about to take over the Influence for an episode a month. I mean, it's bonkers what happens when you remove booze. It's like unleashing this whole new life. Charlie, what do you reckon to all this?
Honestly, like, I think since I've got sober, opportunities just have fallen into my lap. And it's like, wow, is this really how great life could be? And obviously, it's shit at times. Obviously, it's not always easy. But just, like, the amount of time and energy you have spare means that you can do all of those things you always wanted to do, you know? And I was so scared about setting up sober soccer. I was like, no one will want to come. Oh, sober students, you know, they'll all drink. No one will want to be a part of it. And, like, that's not true. Like, now there's over, like, 300 members. And in the group chat, there's, like, 60 or 70-odd people. And there's, you know, they're all really interesting people. And some of them don't drink for, like, religious reasons. Some of them had a drinking problem. Some of them just never really liked it. It was never really fun for them. But we all come together on the fact that, like, we want to have fun. We want to hang out. We want to make friends. But we just don't want to drink. And it's really something amazing. And I can't really believe that I made it, to be honest.
You did. You made it happen. And Joey, when you saw that there was an alcohol-free sober society at uni, what did you make of it? What did you think?
Honestly, I was over the moon. Like, I was sat with my mate, who's also sober. Like, I didn't believe that. I was like, oh my God, like, I met this guy and he's sober too. And it's like, right, we're going to be best friends now. And we are. And yeah, we were like looking through all the societies to join because we were excited to start uni. And then I just came across Sober Society and I was like, what? That's absolutely mad. Like, I can't believe that even exists. Like, that, I'm definitely going to go to that. That was, like, top of my list, ones I was going to go to. Because, like, I wanted to go to all of them. You know when you see all of these societies and you think, oh, these are all sick. I'm going to every single one. But then it's like, okay, now, calm down a second, Joey. Let's get your priorities in order. And honestly, number one for me was Sober Society. And the first time they had, like, the Sober Circles, like, the weekly little events that we have where we just get together and whatnot. I was literally over the moon. There was, like, so many people that showed up. I was expecting, like to be one of, like, 10 people. And then, like, I swear, man, there was, like, 40 people in that one room. Yeah. And we were like, whoa, this is, like, one of the greatest feelings ever. Like, I'm home. I found my people.
Oh, I love that so much.
I think that's amazing. And yeah, Charlie, I was going to ask how Sober Society was going. 300 people is amazing. And I think the fact that you've created this thing, and then as Joey says, it's about finding your tribe. And it's when you're looking for something and you're not quite sure what it is, and then you see something like Sober Society, and then things start to click. And that's what I always say about going alcohol free or changing your relationship with alcohol. We know all the big things, like, you know, the money and the mental health and the you know, the healthy and losing weight and everything else. But it's those little moments when those opportunities fall into your lap, when, you know, when Joey's saying, you know, I want to go and study the stars, and then hey presto, he's hanging out with me, Shazza and Ben and everything else. It's just what happens. It's amazing the way the universe works.
Joey, Have you always been this positive? Like, we've all been just smiling since you came on the Zoom call. You've just got this energy about you that is just optimism encompassed. Has it always been this way, or is this something that has kind of happened because of your sobriety as well?
Oh, thanks, man. What a nice thing to say. I appreciate it. Do you know, I have always been quite like a positive, like optimistic person, but ever since going sober, that's definitely increased. I got eternal optimism. Like, you can throw whatever you want at me. I'll find a way to get through it. Yeah, I'm always optimistic, and being sober, I definitely have been sober to thank for that. Absolutely.
Joey, I was going to say, like, as Ben says, I love your attitude, and it's such an awesome thing to see and hear. I think we need more of this, you know, more of that unstoppable energy and positivity. And I'm always really interested in this one concept that I know so many people who are in what you might call a comfort zone or maybe an uncomfortable zone. And they want to change, and they say, you know, I've got my goals, I've got my dreams, I want to get out of this situation, I want to do something with my life. But then they don't. And they stay in what is familiar, they stay in what they know, because, and you know, maybe it's fear, maybe it's lack of confidence, maybe it's a whole host of things. But you didn't, and that's what I love. You took the difficult path. You said, I am going to do this difficult thing, I'm going to change my habits, I'm going to go after what I want. Why is that, do you think? Why did you step forward when so many other people won't?
Man, that is an absolutely lovely question. Thank you so much for asking me that. Yeah, I like to think that I'm a very deep thinker. One thing that I realized is that vulnerability is essential for growth. If you want to grow and become a better person than the person you are now, you have to allow yourself to become vulnerable. Like, think of a seed that's been planted underground. Like, it's safe, it's warm, it's damp, it's enclosed, it's got everything that it needs to grow. And eventually it grows and it pops its little head out. And when it does that, it's vulnerable. It's exposed to the elements, any harsh weather, any omnivores or herbivores are going to eat it, people are going to trample it, whatever. But if that little seed didn't allow itself to become vulnerable, it never would have grown into the plant that it was meant to be. And I know that it sounds so, oh, so soppy, I know.
Joey, it's lovely.
No, it's not, it's great. We love it.
No, honestly, Joey, just to jump on the back of that, like, I couldn't agree more. And I think vulnerability is one of the most courageous and difficult things that anyone can actually do. And it took me a while to realize that actually by showing people my feelings and putting myself out there and doing all the things I was afraid to do, that's what made me strong. That's what made me brave. And it's just crazy. Like, well, Joey will know that I, you know, cry quite often in sober circles.
Quite often, yeah. I
yeah, I'm not afraid to show my emotions, let's say. But that took me a long time to get there. And I think going sober really helped me with that, because I would hold a lot in when I was drinking and let it out when I was drunk. And then now that I'm sober, it's like, oh, all of those feelings don't have anywhere to go. I can't really push them away. They just sort of come to the surface. And like, I let them show, because I want people to see that I'm vulnerable, because I want them, you know, to trust me, and I want them to just like know that I'm being brave to do it so they can too. And I think, yeah, I just think it's so important what you said about vulnerability.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, if you stay inside your comfort zone for your whole life, it's easy to be strong. Anyone can be strong when you're inside your comfort zone. You've got to break free in order to really test yourself. Like, you've got to take risks. That's what life's all about. If you don't take risks, you're never going to grow. You know, you've got to allow yourself to be vulnerable if you want to grow.
And that's why we're taking a risk with you two. In the most positive way. It's absolutely not a risk. It's not. But it is. It's about doing things differently, about challenging the ordinary. And you two, what you're going to bring to this and to give a voice to younger people in sobriety, it's quite incredible. Because if you've listened to this pod from the beginning, at the start of lockdown, myself, Ben and Freddie, we will all say it's not easy giving up booze in your 30s. That's what Ben and Freddie have done. I've done it in my 40s. And we always say, oh God, can you imagine doing it in your 20s? And that's what you two are doing. It is changing the world. It is changing the world, one podcast episode at a time and one sober day at a time. And it's really exciting. And as Ben said, Joey, Your energy is incredible.
Thank you so much.
I knew he'd be right for it. I knew you guys would like him. You're going to like him more than me now. I don't know how I feel about that, to be honest.
Yeah,
I'm you know, Charlie, we still like you a lot.
Do we just like Joe more?
I need to step in here as a producer of the podcast. We like you differently, Charlie. Okay,
okay, that's fine. I can take it.
Before we move on to talk about some of the things that you guys would love to cover, because I know that, Charlie, you've in particular... Like me, you like a list. You've got a plan. Yeah. You've got lots of different topic areas that you'd like to cover as part of this Young and Sober series. But before we do, Joey, I've got one last question for you. If you don't mind, Charlie, I've got one last question.
No, go for it. I'm loving hearing all about Joey, honestly.
But Joey, you were 23 then. When you get
I think so. I should be good at maths, seeing as I study it a lot. But
wouldn't you?
Yeah, but I think I was 23.
23. Did the thought? I think I probably know the answer to this. But did the thought never cross your mind that you had time? Like, I'm 23. Everyone around me, or most people around me, or people my age in the UK drink. Like, I don't have to address this yet because I'm only 23. Did that ever cross your mind?
Yeah, when I was originally thinking, should I go sober? I don't know. There was like the devil on one side of the shoulder, like the angel on the other. And yeah, that was definitely a thought that I had. But like I said, like I just asked myself, how long am I going to wait before I start to demand the best of myself? Like, I know that I can do better than this. I know that I'm capable of doing better than this. How will it benefit me to wait? What will I be waiting for? Like, the sooner I do it, the sooner I can better my life. And do I not want a better life? Do I not want to live a better life? Do I not want to live the life that I want to live? Like, the sooner I get sober, the sooner I can achieve everything else that I want to achieve. The sooner I get sober, the sooner I can move out into my own place. The sooner I get sober, the sooner I can go back to uni and all these other things. And it just snowballs and it just gets better and better. So I just knew that the sooner I did it, the better I'd be. And yeah, once I made that realization, I was like, well, that's pretty much that then. Yeah, I guess I'm sober now. And it was just done. Yeah.
Joey, you know what's apparent? And I think this is possibly an age thing, is you make it sound so frigging simple at your age. No, I'm not even joking. You know, we have talked for hours and hours and hours about sobriety and the should I, shouldn't I. And I think when you get a bit older, when you've got another 10, 20 years drinking on yours and Charlie's age, when you get to our age, you debate it and debate it and debate it, and it can take years. And I'm not even joking, it can take years to get to the point where you actually think, you know what, now I'm ready to try this break from alcohol. I'm ready to do this. And it just takes so much time. And you've just gone, yeah, okay, early 20s, need to be better. This is what I'm going to do. And here you are, you know, heading towards 1,000 days sober at such a young age. I love the fact that you make it sound so simple. I'm not presuming it has been simple in all that time. I mean, tell me differently. What has it been like?
Do you know what? I'll be completely honest. It has been a lot simpler and easier than I thought it would be. Like, I thought it would be a lot harder than it actually was. But I just knew that because I had a goal, I found my purpose. Like, I know what I want to do in my life. So I just devoted myself to that. You know, it's not as though, like, being sober and then, oh, yeah, all your problems are solved. Like, everything's great now. Like, you've got to know, like, so much of your life, so much space in your life was filled with drinking. If you're not doing that, what are you going to fill that space with now? And I knew what that was. Like, I knew what that was. I knew I was going to put myself back in university. I was going to make something of myself. I was going to be somebody. And I just knew that I could devote myself to that. And as soon as I made that realization, it was surprisingly a simple realization to make. That doesn't mean it was easy. It wasn't easy. But I just knew that the longer I waited, the harder it would be. And the more I started to argue with myself, like, nah, oh, let's just wait another week. It's like, there's always going to be a reason not to do something. There will always be a reason not to do something. Find a reason to do it and stick with that.
I think it's so easy to sort of kid yourself and be like, oh no, it's fine. And then you do have these debates with yourself. But I think, I don't know if it's the same for you, Joey, but for me, maybe I gave up earlier, but I, you know, sort of went quite hard, quite young, quite fast. And so I feel like I did go through all the steps of drinking too much and then drinking every day and then drinking on my own. But it just happened for me a lot quicker maybe than it does for most people. And I think in that way, I'm really lucky. I wouldn't change a single experience I had with alcohol, because I think if I hadn't had them, then I wouldn't be here. I don't think I would have gone sober if I'd just been a kind of moderate drinker, I wouldn't be here. So like, I'm so grateful for all those horrible, awful times.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Like it's the more you drink and like the more you do it, the more you sort of realize like, hang on a sec, is this actually what I want to be doing? Or am I just doing this because everyone else is doing it? Like, is this actually good for me? And then, yeah, like you just start to be thankful. And it's like, if it wasn't for all of those times where I was drinking when I didn't actually want to drink and whatnot, I would never have found that drive within me to really stop doing it and get sober. So, yeah.
It's a bit Alan Partridge, this. You guys won't know who that is. But
I know who he is.
If everybody's like, Lynn, idea for a show. I'll be like, Shazza, idea for a premium podcast episode. Me and Joey just throwing our sayings at each other. So Joey's saying, yes! Demand more of yourself.
Yeah,
and I'm saying, live a life less ordinary. And he's saying, find a reason. And I'm saying, I've forgotten my sayings.
Like
now.
A saying like off. That would be amazing.
Oh, let's go. I'm down for the challenge.
We'll do it. We'll get our shirts off. We'll get the twister out. We'll make it.
Joey, it's fascinating getting to find out more about you. One question we've not asked, or that I've not asked because I'm dead nosy, and it's not really alcohol related. Where you from? I can't place your accent.
Oh, I get that question every single day, I swear. I'm actually from Liverpool, born and raised here. Yeah, like... Yeah,
no, I don't
know. Like in a weird American accent, Joey.
Everyone says American, man. Honestly, like someone once asked me if I was from Europe, and I was like, I mean, this is a pretty big place, like, aren't you? But yeah, like, yeah, I'm from Liverpool, born and raised. I did live in Birmingham for a while. I have friends all over the place, but I don't know, man. My accent's like a whole other
story. Like a mixture. It's like a mixture of all different things that I was hearing. Thank you for answering that.
That's right. I knew that question was going to come up. I knew it. I knew someone was going to ask.
I had to ask you. It's brilliant getting to know you, and we are really, really excited that you, Joey, are involved in this platform, and of course Charlie as well. We've not really gone back over Charlie's story because, as we've already mentioned, Charlie has been on the podcast a couple of times. Go back and fill your boots with Charlie's episodes because they are absolutely fantastic. Charlie, we're chuffed to bits that you and Joey are going to be doing this, changing the world as young and sober people. What's your plan? How are you going to be doing it? What are you going to be talking about?
Oh, well, that's a very big question. But no, I'm very excited. I guess I've just sort of realised through getting sober, through working with you guys, through Sober Sock and everything else, that there is a real sort of platform or market, I guess, for young sober people. And there are people who are sober and they're kind of hidden under the woodwork. But they are there, students and young people. They do exist. And I think if I had heard, you know, someone my age talking about sobriety earlier, then I might have been, you know, inspired earlier. And I think it's really important for people in all situations to have role models, you know, to aspire to. Like if you're a student and you feel like you want to relate to a student, but you don't know any sober students, that can be really difficult. And I guess another difficult thing is that you're not really seen as having a problem if you're a student who drinks a lot. So I guess it's about kind of changing that narrative of the black and white sort of alcoholic and making it a bit more nuanced, I guess, because you can have a problem that looks like anything. And for me, I was a student and I really suffered at the hands of student drinking culture, and I think that that's really still there, and there are a lot of people struggling with that. So I would really like to just sort of be a platform where we talk about student life, we talk about being young and sober, we talk about the challenges, the fun parts, what you can do, how you can help, advice, tips, anything, I guess.
And I imagine as well, like you said there, it's about making people in your position in their early 20s be whatever they do in life. You don't have to be a student to get sober. You don't have to be a student to listen to you two talking about sobriety. But making people, as we've all felt ourselves, as older folk doing this, just less alone. And that, you know, you sort of stick your little head above the parapet going, I'm removing booze. And the minute somebody does that and you go, so am I. And it makes it a damn sight easier. And you don't feel like that social leper, be it at the student union or wherever. What do you reckon, Joey?
Yeah, that's absolutely right. Like, you know, one thing that I thought to myself when I was debating going sober was, there's not a lot of role models that I could see. Upon doing more research, reading whatnot, turns out there are a lot of famous people out there who are sober, and that might be something we'll talk about in the future. But I just said to myself, why can't I be my own role model? Like, why can't I be the person that I want to look up to? What's stopping me? Like Charlie said, like, there aren't a lot of people who are young and who are sober. So the more young sober people we have talking about being sober and what life is like, the more people are going to think about it for themselves and be like, hang on, yeah, if they can do it, I can do it too. And maybe it is good for me. Maybe it is good for me to be sober. Maybe I should give this a shot. So yeah, I feel like it's great. I'm excited for the future.
Charlie, what else have you got on your big list of topics then? Because we're doing this across the whole year, so you'll be taking over the podcast the last Monday of every month. Are we having guests on? Is it you guys talking? How do you want to do that? Bearing in mind, I'm the producer of the podcast still, so I probably shouldn't know the answer to this one. It's just you guys, isn't it? It's just you guys talking.
You're no longer in charge. We've got Joey on the case here now.
We're taking over, bro. We're taking over.
I think so. unless like Adele or someone wants to come on, then, you know, Adele's welcome. No,
make it happen, Charlie. Make it happen.
Is Adele sober?
Yeah.
No,
we discussed this last time. Yeah.
Fabulous. Adele.
So I did actually just do an article about a list of alcohol-free celebrities. So check it out on the blog if you want to read about that.
Overtheinfluence.co.uk. Just get that in there.
Yeah. Overtheinfluence.co.uk/blog. You'll find a lot of my ramblings on there. So I guess I've got a lot of ideas, really. One idea that I sort of want to keep as a thread that goes through the whole thing is answering the question, like, should I go sober? Like, exactly what you were saying before, Ben. Like, you know, when people have that thought, like, I'm only 23, I've got forever to sort my life out, I've got forever to go sober and be quote-unquote sensible. And I guess just trying to challenge that notion that you have to be sensible and when you're sober, because I don't think that's true. I think you can be silly and weird and have a lot of fun without drinking. And I kind of want to challenge that thing that's like, okay, I'll sort my life out in the future. I want to just sort of exactly what we do here, sing about the joys of sobriety and put forward the idea that it's not, you know, you're never too young to live your life fully. And there's no age limit on being your best self or having the most fun or being the most silly. Like, there's no reason to put that off. Why would you put off living your best life? Like, it just doesn't make any sense at all. Like, why would you prolong the misery that you have to feel from being hungover and having anxiety and blacking out and sleeping with someone you shouldn't have or whatever? Why keep doing that when you could bring forward the positive future and just actually have a sick time in your 20s as well? I just think there's no reason why we can't do that. And then on the back of that, I guess we'll talk about some funny things as well, like maybe some story. Me and Joe have definitely got some tales to tell when it comes to student drinking culture and like silly things that we might have done, silly things, but they could be
we've definitely done a lot of silly things. You're absolutely right about that. But I still do silly things now. Like, don't get me wrong, you know what I mean?
Yeah, different kind of silly. Yeah, more moral lesson. No. And I guess answering questions like, how can you have fun, relax, unwind without drinking? Do all of those things that you're so scared that you won't have the courage to do. Like, how will I dance with someone in the club? How will I go up and try and, I don't know, have sex or something? I don't know. Can we say sex on the show?
You can say sex.
said a lot worse things than sex.
Yeah,
on this podcast,
you're fine.
Yeah, I told everyone to suck it earlier. So
yeah, you did. That's one of your opening lines.
I know.
So romantic, Joey. You're a man of romance.
I'm a man of romance.
And then another thing is kind of like what you were saying before, the fact that alcohol seems to be everywhere, and I guess it seems to be everywhere for everyone, and that includes us. You know, just because there are people who are sober, it does still seem to be everywhere. It's on the side of the bus. It's on, you know, it's on every single ad. It's in every single film. You know, the cool guy drinks, the businessman drinks. You know, it's like it feels inescapable at times. I think that's one of the things that's hardest for me is I don't feel like I want to drink ever, but sometimes I just want to get away from people who are drinking. I'm just like, why does it have to be so everywhere? Why, God, why? And I guess just kind of discussing that and how you can cope with that and how you can cope with it being a student or being a young person and still, you know, going to the places that you might like to go to and you might have always liked going to, but kind of coping with the fact that alcohol is everywhere. And then on the back of that, I guess how can we make a difference? Because alcohol won't be so everywhere, you know, if we're all singing about the joys of sobriety and we're kind of slowly pushing that message out. The world is changing, and I really believe that, and I think everybody has a little part to play in that, and I think it's not impossible to change the world. So yeah,
I think you're right about that. Yeah, it's true. Like, how, like, a lot of people worry, like, oh, how am I gonna do the things that I do whilst drinking if I don't drink? Like, oh, what's this gonna be like? What's that gonna be like? And I'm excited to tell people just about what it's like, you know, what is it like going to a club sober? It's pretty sick, you know, just drink bare water, get hydrated, and then just start dancing. Like,
drink bare water.
Honestly, I understand what he means. Like, yeah, Joey, I got you, man. I get you, man. I feel you. Yeah, respect. Yeah.
Go on, Charlie.
No, I was just going to say, and then the most important thing, I think, which is, I guess what made it sort of not easy, but simple for you, Joey, I'm guessing, and for me as well, is that it's a change in your mind. It's not just you give up alcohol and you're like, oh no, I can't have alcohol ever again, poor me, I'm so deprived, blah, blah, blah. It's really about changing your mind and being like, actually, no, like, I'm literally not losing out on anything. I'm only gaining good things. And I really believe that's true in every single way. And I would love to just talk about all the ways in which I think that is really true and how lucky I think we are to have had this opportunity to try sobriety in a world where, in a country where not that many people do.
You're absolutely right about that. I'm really excited to talk about that, like, just what life is like afterwards, like all the joyful things you can do afterwards, just making a voice for that, you know, like building a platform and putting that story on and just telling that story. Like, there are so many fun things you can still do. Like, you can still do anything. You can do anything that you could do while you were drinking.
And more.
And so much more. I'm really excited to talk about that. Absolutely.
I think you're both right about one thing as well. You're right about everything. But one thing in particular is what you're saying about being lucky. And I am going to sound old when I say this, but you kids don't realise how lucky you are. Because if I think back to my university, I obviously like hit it hard because I was in my element, student drinking, happy days. But and I always used to joke with my friends about this. My drinking at university compared to my drinking in my 30s, it didn't even touch the surface. It didn't even scratch the surface. It was, by the time I was late 20s, early 30s, I was hammering it so hard almost every night of the week. And when you're a student, you can sort of say I'm a student, but when you're in your 30s, it's not quite cool. So you guys are going to have the pleasure of never knowing what it's like to having to sit down with HR for a really serious conversation. You're never going to have the pleasure of thinking, oh, I'm at work, but hang on, I'm also drunk. You know, you're never going to have the pleasure of being chased out of a country or having to make a big presentation at work, crazy hungover, and all these things because you made the right decision so early in your tender young lives. And you are absolutely lucky, and you've literally given yourselves the gift of life, and there's so many opportunities that are going to be coming for you now. I can't wait to see what happens, and I can't wait to for Over the Influence to play a part in your success.
I know, I'm honestly so grateful to you all, because when I first came on the show, I was nervous, and I was only 6 months into my sobriety, and most of it had been in lockdown, so I didn't have any sober friends. I wasn't really talking to anyone, really, and I came on and spoke to you guys, and you're all so lovely to me. And then since then, it's just, you know, you have really given me confidence to make sober sock and keep going and meeting new people. And another thing that I'm sort of working on at the moment as well is with the student union, because I was saying on the last time I was on that I didn't think the student union was doing enough. Well, I sent them a long email explaining why it would be great to do a campaign about, you know, rethinking drinking or something like that, called something like that. And now I think that's going to go ahead. We're going to have a meeting about it, and we're going to kind of try and make it relatable and not too preachy or annoying, very much the tone of this show. And yeah, just sort of make people in that sphere sort of think, is tonight the right night to drink? Or yeah, and basically I couldn't have done any of this, I don't think, without you guys, so thank you.
Absolutely. It's a really great thing you're doing here, and to have us on as well, and, you know, give us this space, like, yeah, I'm so grateful. It's fantastic.
don't be grateful. You guys are brilliant, and we can't wait to share your story. I think, you know, for me, I'm 33 now. I graduated into the recession. It feels like I've heard the term lost generation used about my generation before. I think we nodded our heads a lot, my generation, and we did what we were told because job security wasn't really a thing. Last one in, first one out, low pay, nod, nod, nod. I think we were kind of... My generation are quite concerned with ourselves, I think. Not necessarily in a narcissistic way, but just because it wasn't the easiest time to start adult life when I started adult life. I think your generation are demanding in a great way. Like, I see this and from young people, just, you know, every generation had this, but I think you don't really realise it till you're older, the power that young people have to change the agenda. Like, we're seeing it now. Obviously, we're facing an environmental crisis, and it's on the agenda for that reason. But it really feels like these young, the Greta Thunbergs of this world, the young people are driving this agenda. You're demanding in a way that you won't settle for the status quo. And it's, you know, the environment. You want to know how that handbag was made. You will not vote for someone if their ethics have been called into question. You know, young people do have, especially the generation at the moment, it's a loud generation in a fantastic way. And I think, you know, getting you guys on, there's no, you know, we're not saying this is exclusively for young people to listen to, are we? We'd love the entire Over the Influence audience to listen to your takeover episodes at the end of last Monday of every month. But I think there's a real opportunity here for us to really kind of put our, what we're about here at Over the Influence, as you know, is singing about the joys of sobriety. It's about sharing the message that there is a different way. And I think this is the first step in us. It doesn't always have to be us wanging on, as Shaz would say. You know, we want your voices to be strong in this, and we're delighted to be helping you in any way that we can. And I honestly cannot wait to hear these episodes. I just from this conversation alone, I know they're going to be absolutely fabulous. And if Joey's smiling all the way through, they're gonna be really lovely to record as well.
I can't stop smiling. My face actually hurts. I can just see you smiling, Joey.
Yeah, I can't not smile. I'm like talking about one of my favorite things. It's like, this is what I wanted, you know? This is what I wanted when I turned sober. It was like, I want an opportunity like this, and here I am, I've got it. And yeah, like you said, like, we're demanding things, you know? Like, it's just supply and demand at the end of the day. Like, we need a greater supply for sobriety, so what better way to get that than to demand it?
I'm really excited as well. It's been an absolute joy to chat. This is the first time that myself and Freddie have met you, Joey, and Ben said, he just said, you'll like him, you'll really like him, and we do. And Charlie, we love you, and Joey, I know we're going to fall in love with you throughout this process. You're both so inspiring, and the more people wanging on about sobriety, the better. Not in a preachy way, not in a you mustn't drink sort of way. It's just about sharing our experiences of sobriety, and we are yet to find anybody, a single soul, that says it's shit. So let's just keep singing. The more voices, the better. And it is an absolute joy that we are able to give you two a voice, and young and sober people a voice on this platform of Over the Influence. I cannot wait to find out how you get on with the student union, Charlie. I think that is going to be a story. Joey, you said, why can't I be my own role model? We're all about to find out. It's really, really exciting. Bring it on next month, the takeover with Charlie and Joey, young and sober.
Yay!